Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch, and today we're going to talk NBA basketball. We're going to talk the big brawl in Texas, and I'm going to share my opinions on that. But first, I want to talk about yesterday's Game 7, Toronto defeating the Heat 116-89. This game came down to the stars. You have two stars versus one star. And usually the two stars are going to win at home. And the home team, 90% of the time that I've watched basketball wins Game 7 in the NBA. It's just a huge advantage. And Toronto rode the home court. And DeRozan and Lowry were fantastic. They had 35 points, and then DeRozan had 28 points. Got help from Biombo, who had 6 offensive rebounds and 17 points, a lot of dunks. Really, Lowry was smart when he scored. If he didn't score, he would drive. Biombo would roll to the basket and slam it because he was the biggest guy on the court. And they took advantage of a depleted Heat team. I believe they had Boston Whiteside. They were going to go to the NBA Finals. I thought they were rolling to that point, but they didn't, and that's the way the game is. And Toronto took advantage of that. Toronto had 20 offensive rebounds. And, yeah, the Heat were small, but a lot of times they didn't box out either. There's a lot of times when the ball goes in the air, you got to box out, and it has to be a desire and a want to. And Biombo wanted it more. Patterson, who had, had 7 offensive rebounds, he wanted it more. And you just – and they were at home, and they were energized, and that's what it comes down to. That's about 30% of Toronto's offense is offensive rebounds. Throwing it off the glass and letting Valanciunas and Patterson and Biombo just kill you on the boards. And that's what they did to Miami most of the series. I thought the biggest game was Game 3. Game 2, Miami had 6-point lead and blew it, but that was in Toronto. Toronto really fought hard in the fourth quarter. The 6-point lead late in Game 3 in Miami cost them. And they really didn't get a good possession. And then Patterson had a 3-point play to cut the lead to 3. And then Toronto took the lead. Lowry went off. And that was the stabilizing game that Toronto needed. And then after that, Toronto always had the advantage. They won Game 5. Even Game 6 when they lost, they had a Game 7 to play with. So they took care of business, outscoring Miami 30-11 in the fourth quarter. Miami also lacks a shooter. If they had a Kyle Korver type of player, they've had Ray Allen and Battier in the past. They don't have that now. So that's what Pat Riley and company is going to have to worry about. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with Bosch. And then Whiteside, I assume they're going to sign him. He's going to want a max deal. So he's going to get paid a lot of money. I think Miami's going to take care of him. They're probably going to take care of Wade somehow in the latter years of his career because he was fantastic, averaging over 30 points a game. Being big time. He just didn't have enough help, and that's what hurt him. And Toronto moves on. Where they will get, I believe they will get stampeded by Cleveland. I heard this writer says, disrespectful to say Cavs will walk over the Raptors. The Cavaliers will walk over the Raptors. I'm not politically correct. Since I'm alternative news media, I tell you the real, they will walk over the Toronto Raptors, and here's why. You're not getting 20 offensive rebounds against the Cavaliers. LeBron James, what he'll do, he'll move to the 4, guard Patterson or Biombo. He'll be like, listen, Biombo's not getting any offensive rebounds. Box him out. You have a guy like Ross got off against the Heat. You put J.R. Smith, who I'm not a big fan of, who's inconsistent, but I have a funny feel in this series he's going to dominate Ross. So now you take Ross out of the equation. I think Kyrie Irving will outplay Lowry. So now you're taking Lowry's 30 points out of the equation. DeRozan will get hit to a point. He's a good mid-range jump shooter. He can get to the basket. The mid-range jump shot will help him get his points against the Cavs. That's not going to be enough. I think the Cavs blow him out in Game 1, blow him out in Game 2. Game 3 will be hard-fought in Toronto for a little while, and then in the fourth quarter, they smoke them in the fourth quarter. I believe the Cavaliers, after winning 11 straight at the time, will be bored, and Toronto will hustle because they do hustle. their way to a win, and then Toronto and then Cavaliers smoke them in five and get ready for the finals, which really means the Cavaliers had no real competition in the East. There was no real competition. And the East is pathetic. Listen, congrats to the Cavs. They go back to the finals. I give them their credit for going back, doing what they're taking care of business. But the East is pathetic, and some of the poorest run organizations in sports rely on the Eastern Conference. You don't have to deal with Damian Lillard or James Harden or Dirk Nowitzki in the first round. The Cavaliers don't have that issue. They got easy game after easy game, not only inferior opponents, but mentally weak opponents. Even teams with some talent like Atlanta, they're inferior and mentally weak. And it's an intimidation factor. I was like LeBron at Karl Malone, even though LeBron has two rings, they remind me of each other as far as the intimidation factor because how big and fast they are. And that's intimidating. You got to get over that aura. Like Miami, if they were healthy, I felt like they were going to beat them because they didn't care. They played with them. And that's D-Wade's best friend. They would have took it right to the Cavaliers with Bosch and Whiteside and the rest of their team. That would have been the team. But no other team is like that. Toronto will play hard. The problem with Toronto is they play street ball. They're not going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron and Kyrie and Love on their team playing street ball. And they like to reach a lot. Yeah, go ahead and try to reach and miss. And leave Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and even Fry now coming off the bench. Wide open threes. LeBron can have a field goal. He could average around 15 assists a game against the Raptors. Carroll will do okay against them, but he's still going to get to the basket. And then when he gets to the basket, if he doesn't get to the basket, kick it out to three-point snipers, and it'll be like good morning, good afternoon, and good night to the Toronto Raptors. I do not feel like this is going to be very competitive at all. I think it's a horrible matchup because all the good things that Toronto did against the Heat will not work against the Cavaliers, and they don't have a plan B. Their plan is to give the ball to Lowry, let him dribble, go to the basket, or give it to DeRozan, let him dribble, go to the basket. And if they miss and they take bad shots and they get a lot of offensive rebounds, those bad shots will not be offensive rebounds. They'll be rebounds for the Cavaliers. Cavaliers will be up and down the court, and they're going to be having a lot of – and they will dance on your grave. The Cavaliers are not the most classiest team in the world. So they're going to dance and prance. They might even have the Canadian flag out there laughing at the Raptors. Now, I hate to be disrespectful after the Raptors had such a great win, but it's a bad matchup. And they're happy to be there. They haven't been to the conference finals, so they're going to be happy to be there against a team trying to steamroll. It's the perfect team. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers fan, you're ecstatic. You know you pretty much got a free ride to the NBA final. I mean, that's how I feel. I would be utterly shocked. As shocked as I've ever been in sports history if the Toronto Raptors win a game in Cleveland, one or two. Now, I can see them getting four. I don't know about three. I can see them getting one in Toronto just because maybe Cleveland's bored. And Toronto, they hustle. They do play hard. I don't necessarily know if they play as smart, and they better have Valanciunas. If they even want to make it somewhat competitive, even with Valanciunas playing, I just think that Cleveland, they know, Tyronn Lue knows, if we box out and we limit their second-chance points, they don't have a prayer of beating us. They don't even have a prayer of competing us without the offensive rebound. And it's just not, I just don't see it. I don't see LeBron James playing, I guess, at the four and getting rebounds and getting out rebounded, having Patrick Patterson outwork him on the board. I cannot see that. So I have Cleveland in five or four. Wouldn't surprise me if it's 12. I just think, you know, you get bored after a while, after you beat up on so many Eastern Conference teams, and they get to the finals. Now, OKC versus Golden State. I know I'm going to get calls, so I think I want to wait for the phone calls for fans to call in before I get into this, but I'm getting to it a little bit. I believe that Golden State will win at seven. It's still going to be a very, very close series. I just think that the last 6 minutes every game is big. It's why Golden State won the four close games against OKC, is because the Thunder don't execute as well, and they could be a little on the dumb side down the stretch, even though Westbrook and Durant did win two games in San Antonio. But both those games, there were some questionable calls. Not only that, they had got away with some bad decision-making and hustled their way to winning those games in San Antonio, and I got to give them credit for that. But Russell Westbrook shot 35% against Golden State in the regular season. He cannot do that against the Golden State Warriors. But now their defense is a lot better. OKC defense was 12th in the league, and it's got in the playoffs. They're really paying attention to detail. At times, they miss assignments because I watched them when Spurs lit him up a little bit, game three. Russell Westbrook looking at Adams like, I thought you had him. Adams like, I thought you had him. You can't do that against the Golden State Warriors. And you can't make mindless turnovers. But one thing Westbrook does that I would be nervous if I'm a Golden State fan is his motor is running all game long. And he's coming after you like 110 miles an hour, full steam ahead. He's bulldozing his opponent. And I just like Golden State because, they're just a little better team. I think it's their time. Now, of course, it wouldn't surprise me if OKC won, because OKC is that talented, and Adams. And they got a thoroughly out-rebound Golden State. I thought Golden State at times got out-rebounded against a Portland team. But Portland matched up better in this aspect than OKC. Portland had so many shooters, and with Lillard and McCollum's penetration, Golden State had all types of trouble trying to deal with the way they played. But OKC, they don't shoot it as good. Durant could shoot it good, but not like that. And I think that's going to hurt OKC in the end. But they could win in Golden State. I wouldn't be surprised if they split in Golden State and then split in OKC. And then what happens is the longer the series goes, the harder it is to win a road game. OKC would have to win that game five if it's split, if all this happens. And if Golden State wins game five, then OKC gets six. And then game seven is very difficult. You saw the Heat. And you saw how difficult it is. If you get Golden State in a game seven, you got Curry and Thompson and Iguodala, all those money players, and Draymond Green with the way he passes and makes big plays, I would favor Golden State. But now OKC's got to play smart to even have a seven-game series. And also, you got to get Draymond Green in foul trouble between Adams and if he's guarding Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has an attack. He can't defer Westbrook. And that situation, he's got to attack the basket. And now you get Draymond Green in foul trouble. That's the head of the snake a little bit. I mean, you also talk about Steph Curry. Curry's probably going to guard Robinson. You're going to have Klay Thompson on Westbrook. Can you get Klay Thompson and Green in foul trouble? You got a chance then. But Golden State is so solid that Livingston would come off the bench and play alongside Curry and play just as well. Livingston's the best backup point guard in the NBA, and OKC doesn't have that. Their bench is decent, but not like that. And Deion Waiters got to make jump shots because I think Steve Kerr is going to give him the outside shot. And he's got to play with some brains, which he doesn't always do. He plays hard, but does play smart. And those are the keys to the series that I believe Golden State will win. I think you have Golden State and Cleveland. It's going to be like the Bulls and the Jazz, where the Bulls had two hard-fought series wins. I think that's going to happen. I think Golden State's going to get to Cleveland and beat Cleveland, and that could be a seven-game series too, with LeBron and Curry going at it in the seventh game. I believe it's just Golden State's time. They have two very difficult opponents, OKC and then Cleveland. OKC and Golden State will be competitive. Cleveland and Toronto will not be. It will not be competitive. at all. Why would you say that before the series? I've seen non-competitive matchups where I've looked and said, oh, my gosh, this is going to be unwatchable. It's like I use a football reference. The 49ers got to the Super Bowl and played the Chargers. I said, this will not be competitive. They don't have a prayer in the world. And even Deion Sanders said, you know what, I knew we were going to beat the brakes off of San Diego. It's a horrible matchup. And I just believe that this is a horrible matchup for the Toronto Raptors. And Toronto left Heat shooters open by design because they didn't shoot it as well. Do that against the Cavaliers, you pay for it. You know, I did J.R. Smith, as much of a knucklehead as he is, as inconsistent as he is, I think he has a good series against Ross, who had a good series against Heat. I think that's not going to happen this series. And Lowry could score on Kyrie Irving, could get his 30. The problem is Kyrie Irving is going to get into foul trouble. Oh, we have a caller.
Hello.
Hello, it's Coast to Coast Radio.
Hey, Ron, it's the NBA Queen. How are you?
It's the NBA Queen. She is back for the NBA Conference Finals with Durant and Curry. And how excited are you?
Oh, my God. I could not be more excited. This playoff series between these four teams, between OKC, Toronto, and Cleveland, are going to be amazing. I'm not missing any game.
No, but I don't think Toronto and Cleveland are going to be competitive. I don't think that they match up with Cleveland at all.
You don't think they can handle LeBron? But I think they did a really good
absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely.
I think that
it's not just LeBron. It's the three-point shooters. I think that they're gonna light Toronto up. I think it's a bad matchup. But it was a better matchup, Toronto-Miami. I think this is a bad matchup because Kyrie at times could reach in, and you can't reach in against Kyrie Irving. You're gonna be in foul trouble on the bench.
Well, did you watch the series that Toronto just played against Miami?
The series Toronto just played, but then you look at matchups. And I look at the matchup with the Heat was good. The matchup against Cleveland is bad.
It's going to be off. It's going to be a little off. Well, what about the Warriors?
It's
going to
be
awesome, right?
Warriors and OKC, every second of that series is going to be good. I will stay up for that. Durant? And versus Curry, Durant and Westbrook versus Curry and Thompson and Draymond Green. Are you kidding me? That's an NBA Queen special.
And believe me,
you need to be a center court in Oakland. NBA need to give you pay you money and send you out there with your clean outfit, and your Golden State stilettos, and sit in center court and watch the game.
Well, you know what? This past season has been absolutely amazing watching that boy. Steph Curry, because that's what I call him. I mean, he's just been tantalizing us with his amazing feats on the basketball court. You know, I have a saying, Ron, about him that there hasn't been a word invented that describes what this boy can do on the floor. He is beyond normal, superhuman, and definitely from another planet.
Yes, he's definitely he shoots. His half-court shot is like a layup.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Then he gets hurt. Think about it. He gets hurt. Then he comes back without being rusty and gets 17 points in overtime against a really good Portland team because Damian Lillard is the future of the NBA.
I was really concerned about that injury, but apparently what they did was they kind of pacified it a little longer than they should have. I don't think the injury was that serious. But he just took that extra time to make sure that he was going to be on point. He came back
smart.
And lit it on fire. Lit it on fire, Ron.
Woo! And what about them cold-blooded shots he hit in game five with the shot clock going down a couple times in the fourth quarter? He got the center on Portland, got caught on a switch, and Curry said, I got this.
It's like he's Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Reggie Miller, like all rolled into one.
That's a good analogy. And you know what? Magic Johnson said this, and I thought about this. He said this Golden State team is exciting. It reminds him the way they pass that ball like the Showtime Lakers. Because let me tell you something, Golden State can pass that basketball.
Yeah, they're just good all around. The bench, they got a deep bench. When you have a bench that can support you, I mean, they did really well playing without Curry. You know, they lost a couple. but they still did a little well. They did better. You know, they were able to maintain their position. I mean, Steph Curry, this boy is just, I'm telling you, I'm at a loss for words with some of the things that I've watched him do this season.
But you know basketball, Queen. You know who you need to give love to? The Curry's backup, Sean Livingston, for holding it down, playing that good. I say he's the best backup
Draymond
in the NBA. Draymond Green's
That's
the heart and soul of that team. Yeah. Draymond Green's the heart and soul of that team.
You can't forget Klay Thompson. You know, he's always there and ready.
Klay Thompson
you know?
Was the really player in that Portland series because he played all those games.
Yeah.
And he hit big shots. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to give Damian Lillard and McCullough of Portland some love because that's the future of the NBA.
You see the way they're playing? But you know what? It's a young team. The teams are young now. It's changing over. Like San Antonio, they just can't cut the cake no more.
You know what? They got old in a hurry, and that happens sometimes. That happens in every sport where a player will play good in the regular season, and then when the playoffs come, that's it. And then time is up, and
they have a lot of age. Even though they play well together, that age is definitely a factor. Now they're playing against a lot younger and faster teams. The game is changing. It's awesome. I love this game.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, I got a friend who plays in the NBA, and he's another future star you need to look at. His name is Carl Towns, and I know his family. I've known him since he was in the ninth grade, and I'm going to look to do another interview. He's been on my show. He is the star of the – they say he's the best prospect since LeBron James. He's going to win the Rookie of the Year at Minnesota. Minnesota got Tom Thibodeau. I want you to start checking him out next year.
Is your boy from Newark? Is he from the Newark area?
No, he's from Piscataway, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes,
I'll definitely invite him to on my
mind. No, his dad, I think his dad was at Newark a lot. His dad used to play ball, too. Yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah,
so we got OKC and Golden State tonight at 9. And don't forget to tune in to Toronto and Cleveland tomorrow night at 8:30.
Okay, Queen, I'm going to let you go. That's a great promo.
Thank you so much for having me, Ron.
No problem. That's the Queen. I got to have that. She gives me energy when she calls in, and my usual callers that call in my show and support, I appreciate. So that was good. Now I got to get to the Major League Baseball and this Bautista situation. This is the problem. This is the thing. Jose Bautista, they beat Texas last year. Everybody knows he did the bat flip. He hit a game-clinching home run in that disastrous inning that Texas imploded and lost the series. He takes the bat and throws it about 50 feet in the air. And I was thinking, okay, that's funny. I'm laughing, but I'm thinking, you know what? He has to see Texas next year. They lose the series. Texas is going to be thinking about this guy for months. And he comes in there, and he gets hit in the shoulder. He has a long, tough slide against Odor, the shortstop. And Odor, and they get into it, and Odor punches him in the face. And if Odor would have had time to really set his punch up, he could have knocked Bautista out. Because I could tell that Bautista was dazed when Beltre held him. You could see he wasn't really wanting to fight because he was kind of shaking the cobwebs out because he got hit with a clean shot on the chin, and then both benches emptied, and it got ugly. And, you know, the Toronto manager, Gibbons, said, listen, that was a classless act that happened. Okay. Not classless, it was gutless. Okay. But now what your guy did, I'm not condoning that he should have got punched in the face, but when you do an act that was classless, when you do a classless act like throwing the bat 50 feet in the air after you hit a home run, things will happen after that. There's consequences in baseball because baseball is not a game where you rub it in the other opponent's noses. Like the Cleveland Cavaliers could do that, and that's, I guess you could do a little of the dancing and stuff. It's a little more accepted in basketball. Baseball is not. I understand culturally, Hispanically, you get excited, and that's kind of the way it is, and I really like the flavor that the Hispanic players bring to the game. That's what I love. Most of my really favorite players are of Hispanic ascent. So I do love that. He just went over the top with it. I understand his enthusiasm, but when you throw it 50 feet in the air and then take your time walking off, you're going to get beamed. I mean, there's a chance there's going to be fights because there's going to be ill will. And that happened. You know, and I didn't really feel sorry for him at all. I'm going to be real honest with you. You shouldn't get hit in the face. This is never, not in any type of societal situation. But, you know, now Texas fans will say he had it coming. But, you know, that's what happens when you do that. There's consequences to your actions. And that's what happened. And Texas beat Toronto 2-3, and Toronto struggled a little bit without Price. They let Price go, and now they're a pitcher short. They're 19-20. That would be a little better, but the Orioles are solid, and Buck has got the Orioles rolling again. The White Sox are good, even though they got beat 2-3 from the Yankees. The Yankees are in a strange situation. They could conceivably make a run because you got the best bullpen in baseball. If I'm Cashman, I sit back and just take the temperature of the team. If you're like 5 or 6 or even 4 games out of the wild card, maybe you make a move. Maybe you're a buyer and take a chance with that bullpen because you can get in the playoffs, that bullpen. Who knows? There's no dominant team in the American League this year. So I wouldn't think about rebuilding so fast until maybe July and see where you're at. As far as the National League, the Nationals play the Mets. The Mets struggled. They went 4-7 on their West Coast road trip. But you're going to struggle playing Toronto, Colorado, and Los Angeles. And they shouldn't have struggled against San Diego, but they did. The Dodgers and the Giants are neck and neck, as usual. The Cubs are flying, even though they lost the one game to the Pirates. But they beat the Pirates 6-7. So the baseball's kind of shaping up. Toronto and Texas now, when they play in Toronto, is going to happen. I'd love for them to play in the playoffs again. That was a fun playoff series. But you never know. Both teams have to do some winning and do some pitching. Texas is ahead in the West. Now, Toronto has to make a run, which I think they will. I'm looking to add some guests on my show. I'm trying to get Jermaine Paul, who won on the he was the singer on The Voice. The sports fan. We've been playing phone tag, so I'm going to try to catch up with him. And I'm going to try to finally catch up with Kenny Anderson to talk about his new movie, he's documenting on his life.